Today I'm channeling my inner as I interview Kurt on his most recent sale or auction campaign.
Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Stunning buyer's agent as always.
I do have a tagline in my bio talking about a diary of a buyer's agent. I'm now channeling diary of a CEO.
Yeah, vibes.
A bit of vibes in there. So
Stephen Bartlett, get behind it.
Get on it. All right, so today is really going to be focused on the most recent campaign. We've had a few discussions offline. We thought this might be a really good one for you, the viewer, whether you're looking to sell, buy, your real estate agent, buyer's agent, or investor, get an understanding of what the process is from start to finish, where handholding takes place, and all the little speed bumps that come through.
And sort of a little bit like why certain decisions are made. And if you are a seller, being like, all agents have their own methodologies, they have their way about going about things. Not all agents are created equal. And also from the buyer's point of view, at the end of the day, there can only be one happy buyer.
And there can be a few upset ones. All right, not ruining the end of the story. All right, so let me start off the beginning point. So property itself, how did you first connect, or how did these people initially find you?
So it was actually through a referral. It was a one bedder in Haberfield.
When you say referral, a real estate agent or?
No, it was through a plumber. So a plumber went to do some work on a building. The guy was trying to do some work on his property, and he started chatting. He was a little bit stressed about, he needed to sell. He did try to sell it last year.
I didn't know that. Okay.
He got a top offer of about 570, I think it was, but just wasn't there. But he did need to, he did want to sell it and release the asset.
Okay. So next question. So were they speaking to any other agents?
They were speaking to two others. One that had attempted last year and one that actually was selling, about to sell another one in the same unit.
Okay.
There's nine in it.
And that's to, you know, full transparency. You're more based in Lower North Shore. Haberfield's in Lower North Shore, so we would classify you in this instance as being out of area, out of market.
Haberfield is inner west. I'm based in Lower North Shore.
So typically as a buyer's agent, when I historically see an agent out of area, I lick my lips. Usually it means they're looking for a quick sale, they're coming back and forth. Slight difference, you live over this side of town, so that probably made it a bit easier. Not wholly and solely. I don't mean.
Private inspections, yeah,
to make it happen. So, why was it they're looking to agents? One who looked to sell last year, another one, the other person was in market or in the area. You're not. What was it about you? Do you think, or what feedback did they give to you?
I think
to elect to go with you.
I think Sam, the person who referred me in, really believes and trusts me, and he's given off that vibe. And then we've sat down on the phone with the vendor, had a half an hour chat, and he was up front with me. He's like, "Kurt, I am interviewing other agents."
Yeah.
I was like, "That's right. Let's come out. If I can even provide a second opinion." I just think it was that non-pushy approach, and then he has given me feedback and communication that often our conversation sometimes were 20, 25 minutes where it just wasn't about real estate. It had that genuine connection. And I think I said to him, at the end of the day, you want to going to get the best price, but you're going to remember how you feel throughout the campaign. And that's what most people actually remember, whether it's good or bad. And I said, I'll be able to deliver a campaign that you'll be happy about how the process was delivered.
And that all makes sense. I do go back and not question, because they made the right decision, particularly when we later on talk about the price they achieved. But most people in that situation, rightly or wrongly, and probably rightly more often than not, would use an agent there because they just go, well, they've sold that one around the corner, that one around the corner. It's interesting to hear they went outside of that.
Well, I think what also demonstrated was one thing we touched on the phone was fees, and I wanted to hit it in the head straight away.
Okay.
Because he did ask about fees, and usually I try and discuss that in person, but I was happy to discuss it over the phone. And he said a lot of agents, the other agents, were not discounting, but they were doing like a 1.65 or 1.5. They were in the mid ones. And I just broke down and said, look, I can't do lower than 2.2%. And I broke down that this is how much I'm roughly going to make if we can get where we think it will sell for. If they're already at this rate, they're going to give you a quick fire sale. And I think that's
more likely
because they're potentially going to make a loss on it. And then as he selected me, the campaign shown and the feedback and all that, which we'll get into, he was able, I think, felt more justified as the campaign went on.
Yeah. And we know the end result, which we'll talk about later on. Okay. So he's chosen you, or they've chosen you going through. First week of interest comes through. You know, the guide was not not undergot, no, you know, ridiculous, but it was probably a little bit, you know, wasn't where it's going to sell, let's say. Like, my, we sort of expected at least probably 25K as a minimum more. Did you have...
Well, in full transparency, before we came to the market, I said on the agency that I think it would sell somewhere between 595 and 650. The newer stuff that was getting built for the one bettors was probably that upper sixes into the sevens,
right,
which we weren't quite there, and we're allowed the full 10% as the bottom figure. So we started there.
And so then during that week or so, did you, was there, or in the early part of the campaign, was there interest, offers? Were people prepared? Were people wanting to make offers?
People definitely within, we'll say, the first week and a half were inquiring about making, there was interest, making offers. There was 12 people on the Saturday that came, 12 or 14. And then there was three people, this was a, I forgot to mention this, came through on the Sunday.
Oh, wow, you did do Sunday.
I offered up a first Sunday
to
once again show a bit of difference. And we did have three people come through, one of which came in second place.
At the auction itself.
Yep.
Okay.
If we went to auction, to keep the story.
Yeah. And then in terms of, was there any consideration by the seller at any point in time of that week or two to seriously look to consider an offer, or at least maybe do a pre-auction auction, you know, closed doors, or
not really? He was very, he very much trusted us, guided through us. So in the negotiations for me to win the business, we're also discussing about REA and domain and what strategies were we going to use.
Which one did you use? Both.
We ended up using both because it was quite expensive. The campaign ended up coming in about $10,000 to $11,000 in the investment. Yeah. REA and domain being very expensive, but he was willing to. He ended up being like, you know what, for a couple of extra grand, I'm going to kick myself if we don't have it.
Yep. Okay. So you're saying potentially the way you're positioning it, you're positioning to him through it, even though there were potential offers, you're indicating, let's blinkers on, let's keep going to auction.
With the interest that came through, when people asked about that, I said, look, at this stage, we've booked the auction date. If you've shown interest and things are to change throughout, I will let you know. And the buyers felt that trust as they were followed up 3 to 4 times.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm trying, maybe I'm misquestioning here. Was there any point the seller was thinking about selling pre-auction?
I don't ever think, really.
Not really. Okay, cool. Okay, then we get approached towards the auction, you know, the dance, the big dance. We're saying we're going to break this episode into two parts. So we're going to talk about what happened at the actual auction. Next episode, so stay tuned. What was the vibe? What you use that
well,
word
I was
in,
just,
the, in the week? Oh, sorry, go on. The
I was
week
just saying about 2 weeks in, as we're leading into about halfway through the campaign, because we did the auction on, we were going to do the auction on a Wednesday. I had said to the owner, let's move the guide up to 615,000. Okay. Just as we come onto market unit 9, which was a little bit bigger, it sold for $622,500.
Was that at auction?
That was sold in a couple of days.
So it went on market.
So Chris, what's your experience with agents selling, if they've got a one better, do they usually go to auction or do they usually sell beforehand?
Look, I know the NOS quite well. It's rare that a one better, like an old red brick, will go through to auction.
Okay,
interesting. You'd see probably 30% initially positioned just as private sale, or like a private treaty, you know, on market, but, you know, just with a sale for sale price, roughly. And the other 70% would have an auction, a campaign with an auction date. I would say less than 5% would go through to auction.
Okay, well, and do you think that's a mistake, or do you think there would be the interest, or do you just think?
I think as a buyer's agent, I think that's the great strategy to go forward with, because I think historical, say, when you have that amount of interest, if you have 5 or 6 buyers out there, you'll achieve a price above what you would otherwise. So do I think it's a mistake? Yeah, probably from a seller standpoint, I think it's a mistake. From a buyer standpoint, then I'll put my hat on as a buyer's agent. No, yeah. Sell everything before auction. It's great. Yeah.
So long story short, we moved the guide up to 615. As a vendor, I was coaching him through. We had to make sure we picked the right price point because we wanted to make sure when it came to auction day, people were aware.
So the 615, was that, where did that number come from?
The number came back, the feedback, majority of it was, and I asked every buyer, 620 to 630. Was where people thought the value would end, because the commentary was, it's a little bit better than the other unit, number 9, but we don't think it's that much. It needs some renovation, it needs this, which I've notated all for my client.
Yep.
And so we still got to be careful not to scare people off thinking it's going to go a ridiculous number. And so that's where we came to that 615,000.
Yeah.
Which was still pretty close to where the vendor's expectation was.
Yeah. Okay. And then anything in particular last week as we leave the auction, was there, were any of those buyers getting buyer fatigue? They've been looking now, it was a 3 week, 4 week campaign. Typically you can see some buyers drop off. Sometimes not from buyer fatigue, but they buy something else.
So we were also, we had played with the idea of moving the auction, and I was aware of that, to the Saturday beforehand instead of the Wednesday because of that buyer fatigue.
Yep.
But we thought with this decision with the interest rates being cut, we were the only unit on in Haberfield.
The only one bidder or the only unit?
Sorry, the only one bidder in Haberfield.
I wasn't sure either way.
No, that's right. And the other units around, they were priced a little bit higher, still on the market. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's stop there for this one.
Yes, perfect.
We're going to go, next episode, we're going to talk about what happened at the auction. And I took a video of the whole thing, so we might splice that into the next video. Ooh. Or we might do a separate posting. Watch your space.
So, we got our final game and we're going back to the original, the three quick cues. Now, Chris is not allowed to justify his answer.
I struggled at this.
The first ever game we did. I've tried to make him yes or no because he's a special character. Sorry, Jez. Hey, Charles. Going to the office after. Yeah. Okay, and I've tried to make him as property related as I can as well. First question, what should a buyer do 24 hours before an auction to remain calm?
Very good. That's a great question. Ideally, come up with a number over 24 hours before the auction.
Okay, cool.
Set that.
Question two, should you
that
be...
That wasn't yes or no, by the way. You said there's a yes or no. That wasn't yes or no.
Should you be upset with an agent if the property goes miles over the guide if two buyers have emotionally bidded on it?
Kinda.
All right. I didn't answer a justification. Three, probably the toughest property question yet. Do you like pancakes with cream, banana, strawberries, and Nutella?
Yes.
Good.
It's your property. Very good. All right. This week, we'd love a comment on, if you're listening or watching this on YouTube, if you're on Spotify or listening on Apple, give us a 5-star review. Don't really want any other sort of reviews. And if you can provide a comment, it just helps more people like you find this content. And, you know, those people looking to buy in Sydney, we're hoping each of these episodes is useful and something for them to take away a little nugget. This one being on, you know, if you're looking to sell and go into the auction campaign, we're sort of exposing the steps and the intricacies of that process.
Yes. Not all agents are created equal.
Bye now. Thanks for dropping by.